Proverbs chapter number 1. Now, the girls come on up and sing for us tonight. They were here, now they're gone. All right, I saw them down here earlier, but here they come. All right, so very good. We'll enjoy some ladies singing tonight, and then we'll jump right into Proverbs chapter 1 this evening for a very brief survey of the book of Proverbs. All right, sing it out, ladies, and we'll enjoy. So much, ladies. That was wonderful. All right. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Dear Father, thank you for your wonderful book. I pray that you'll help us tonight to learn a little bit about this most magnificent book of Proverbs. Lord, I don't suppose any book in the Bible could be elevated over another as far as importance. You said it was all given by inspiration of God and it's all profitable. And I pray, God, that you'll please just teach us about the book of Proverbs in a very short span of time tonight. Help me to know what to say and what to leave out, what to put in. And we'll thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for all these folks who've come out this evening, and especially our missionary guests. Help me now in Jesus' name. And amen. The book of Proverbs, I'm mindful of the time. I don't want to belabor it, so I will just go as far as I can, and then I'll cut it off. We'll be done. But we haven't wasted time tonight. It's been a blessing to have both of these families in the service. Now, the book of Proverbs is a collection of wise sayings. Interesting to me that the word proverb in its root form means to rule. In its root form, it means to rule. A proverb is a teaching, a wise saying. And to live by them or according to their instruction. Now listen to this. Is to live a life of superiority or power. Now let me put a disclaimer here. It's not talking about being superior to other people because of skin color. Listen very carefully. You and I with this color skin and these advantages of being born here in the United States of America, we are no more precious in the sight of God than those people we saw on that screen tonight. With brown colored skin, disadvantaged living in poverty and, as he said, pollution tonight. I'm not talking about living a superior life to other people because of skin color, because of money, because of family, posterity, lineage, or educational opportunities. It is referring to living wisely. Living wisely will give a person dominion, power, rule, not so much over people, over circumstances. Okay? Not over people, over circumstances. In ways that others who live foolishly will not enjoy, do not enjoy. So we're not talking about, you know, something we can learn here that will enhance our opportunity to look down our nose at others. That would be, that's disdained in the sight of God. Okay? We're talking here about the opportunity from this book of Proverbs to learn how to live amongst life's circumstances wisely, which gives us superiority or dominion or rule over circumstances rather than circumstances ruling over us. You ever heard anybody say, "Well, how you doing?" Well, I'm okay, given I'm under the circumstances. We shouldn't be under the circumstances. We can be in them. That's inevitable. But we ought to, from the book of Proverbs especially, learn wisdom that will give us the opportunity to live in dominion as far as our circumstances go, as far as them getting the best. But you know, in a fight, folks, you don't have to be the strongest. But you do have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the strongest to win. A lot of times you can win just on street sense. I'm not talking about educational opportunity here. I'm talking about wiliness, wisdom. Okay? Now, the idea here is that Proverbs, and there are other Proverbs that can be found other places in the Bible, but especially these from the book of Proverbs. The idea is that this book will cause us to live wisely. We do not have to be the wealthiest. We do not have to be the strongest or the most popular or have the most educational opportunities to enjoy a victorious life. But we do have to be wise. I am convinced that wisdom will take you a lot further than education. There are a lot of educated idiots in the world today. Okay? Educated idiots. Now, you have to be wise. Okay? So you don't have to be all the other things, but you have to be wise. And Solomon is the author of the Proverbs. And this book is a compilation of Proverbs that Solomon either spoke or collected. Quickly, look at 1 Kings 4. 1 Kings 4 and verse 29. 1 Kings 4 and verse 29. This talks about Solomon's Proverbs. 1 Kings 4 is when Solomon began to rule as king in Israel after his dad David had passed on. 1 Kings 4 and verse 29. Now, the Bible says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore." There's that phrase again where God uses that phrase as an illustration of multiplied thousands times, like grains of sand on the seashore. Okay? So he gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much. Verse 30, "And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt." Drop down to verse 32. "And he spake 3,000 proverbs." Where do you think we can find a lot of those? Probably in the book of Proverbs. Okay. "He spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. We have one of those in the Song of Solomon. All right. Look at verse 34. "And there came," by the way, look at verse 33. "And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts." Do you have any proverbs come to mind where he used animals to teach us principles of wisdom? "He spoke also of beasts, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom." Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. So on the other side of the book of Proverbs now, if you're getting familiar with your Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 9. This is on the other side of Proverbs, okay? Go to Proverbs and keep turning to your right. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 9. This book, of course, penned by Solomon as well, the Bible says. "And moreover, because the preacher was wise," talking about Solomon, He still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. So 1 Kings 4 tells us that he spake 3,000. Ecclesiastes 12 tells us that he sought out other people's proverbs, wise sayings, to set them in order. Okay? So he's well qualified to put this book together. He's chosen by God to put Scripture on paper. He was given unusual wisdom by God. I would have you turn to 1 Kings chapter 3 and look at 11 and 12, but for sake of time, I won't do that tonight. He was famous for the wisdom God gave him. All the kings of the earth came to him. And over in 1 Kings chapter 10, you got the queen of Sheba who came to him because she'd heard of his great wisdom. And so he was well qualified to put this book together. And we have it now in the book of Proverbs. Now, let's look at it. I want to give you the first four verses of this chapter, we find the fourfold purpose of the book of Proverbs. Right at the beginning here, Solomon gives the purpose for this book. Look at verse number 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Here's the first purpose, verse number 2, to know wisdom and instruction. That is purpose number 1, to know wisdom and instruction. I'm going to go quickly tonight. So if you're taking notes, write quickly, and if not, buy the CD. Church could use the money. All right, here we go. Number 1, the word means skill. The word means skill. This is wisdom in practice. Okay? This is wisdom in practice. This is not just head knowledge. This is knowing how to put wisdom to work. Okay? The word means skill. Wisdom in practice. Number 2, he said, instruction, to know wisdom and instruction. The word means teaching. So instruction is teaching and wisdom is skill. Now the two work in tandem with each other. Teaching is instruction, and then wisdom is the ability, the skill, to put the instruction into practice. There are a lot of people who have knowledge, bukus of knowledge, stored up right here in this cranium, but they don't have the wisdom to take the knowledge and put it into practice in the daily life. That's what he's talking about here. He's not talking about accumulating knowledge or instruction for the sake of accumulating knowledge. He's talking about the ability to take the knowledge and put it into practice. You're instructed, you get teaching, and then you put it into practice. It's one thing to accumulate teaching. It is something altogether different to be able to use what you have been taught. That's wisdom. Now, let me give you a little bit of a disheartening thought. How many church services have we sat in? How many principles of wisdom do you reckon we've heard in the years we've been saved? How few of them do we practice? I would imagine that the average Christian in this room who's been saved for any length of time at all has a pretty deep knowledge of how to handle situations in life, things to do, things not to do, concerning circumstances. Our problem, folks, is not for the most part lack of knowledge. Now, it was in Israel's day. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But I'm not so certain that's the number one problem amongst American Christians who go to decent churches where they hear the Word of God, not just taught from the pulpit, taught in Sunday school, taught by guest speakers who come through. Christian school chapel? Christian school Bible class? Now, when you start, folks, when you start thinking about how much you hear, it starts multiplying. Our problem is not lack of knowledge. Our problem is we lack skill. The wisdom to put the knowledge into practice. I would bet you that everybody in this room pretty well knows how to handle most any kind of circumstance in life. It's not that we don't know how to handle it. It's that we do not put to use the principles of wisdom that we have learned. And we end up in a mess. We don't rule. We are ruled. Are you listening? We are ruled by circumstances instead of ruling them. We don't have dominion. We're under dominion. And this is what he's talking about here in the book of Proverbs. He's talking about this is what these things will do for you. So to know wisdom and instruction. That's the purpose number 1. This is what it is. To know wisdom and instruction. Then purpose number 2. You also see in verse number 2. And that is to perceive the words of understanding. to perceive the words of understanding. So here's purpose number two for the book of Proverbs. The word perceive means to see. And the word understanding means discernment. When you put the two together, understanding is the ability to see with discernment. Now, folks, listen very carefully. This is not referring to seeing with your physical eyes. Okay? You know what, Brother Harold, see if there's an usher in the foyer because there's a baby really loud. They should take the baby where, if I can hear it up here, surely you folks can hear it back there. Okay, so the baby needs to be taken somewhere where it won't be heard in the service, okay? Okay, where are we at here? Okay, the word, this is not talking about physical. This is not talking about the seeing with physical eyes. This is the ability to see that which is not visible to the physical eye and make a wise decision concerning it. I'm paraphrasing and condensing for sake of time. This is Paul the Apostle on the ship in Acts chapter 27 when he says, "Sirs, I don't think we need to make this voyage, for I perceive that it will be done with much damage and hurt." Paul could see. God gave him the ability to see and discern. And he said, "We should not launch this ship." They did not listen to Paul, the prophet on the ship. They listened to the moneymaker, and they got themselves in a world of trouble. If they'd listened to the man who had perception, they would have avoided all that. Okay, this is what we're talking about. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 9, God says one of the things He was going to do because His people didn't desire the Word of God. They weren't hungry for spiritual. By the way, folks, this is a very, very heavy warning to American Christians. He told the people of Israel, He said, "You don't have a heart for the Word of God. You don't have a desire to learn. There's not a hunger to know truth. So because of that, I'm going to make your eyes heavy and your ears dull. And I'm going to give you the spirit of slumber. And you're not going to be able to perceive." God took away the ability for them to perceive, to see the invisible and to make a wise decision concerning that which you can't see with your physical eyes. To perceive a situation. Are you with me tonight? Okay? The Proverbs help you perceive rightly. Okay? So that's what he says here in verse number 2. To perceive the words of understanding. Now, having this will equip a person to live in victory in this life. We won't be ruled by the circumstances of life. Instead, we will rule the circumstances. It doesn't mean that we won't experience difficult circumstances. It means we will deal with those circumstances, all kinds of them, wisely, rightly, and rule those circumstances instead of having them rule us. Now, this book, so from these first two purposes, this is kind of what we learned. This book teaches, specifically Proverbs, this book teaches us, gives us discernment, equips us with the skill and perception to deal successfully with the circumstances of life. Who doesn't want that? Better yet, who doesn't need that? From the youngest to the oldest. Teenagers and even elementary school kids, all the way through every age and adult. We all need that. This book teaches us, gives us discernment. These Proverbs, principles of wisdom, equips us with the skill and perception to deal successfully with the circumstances of life. I'm not talking about living a life of superiority because of an advantage educationally or financially. I'm talking about having an advantage because you live wisely as opposed to living foolishly. Anybody who lives wisely is going to have an advantage. Right? Over the person who lives foolishly. Now, folks, the honest truth of the matter is, when it comes to the world of the physical, some skills can be developed and others cannot. You know, there are certain trades. I don't think I could learn certain trades. I just cannot develop certain skills to accomplish certain trades. I admire fellows about whom you call them, they're a jack of all what? Trades. They can do electric work. They can do body work on the car. I can tear stuff up. I just can't put it back together. Yeah, it's kind of fun, isn't it? I admire guys. There's several guys in this church like that. They're jack of all trades. Learning a trade, and let's say it this way, learning a trade skillfully can be quite difficult because of physical limitations. How about singing? Singing. You know, remember when Brother Coral was here just a few weeks ago and he's talking about the CD with this picture on it? And he said, folks, now don't understand, I'm not singing on this. You know, and I said amen real loud. Remember that? You ever stood by Brother Coral? He's not kidding when he sings like he's in jail. What did he say? Behind eight bars and looking for the right key or something like that. He said that out, and I was with him in Brother Young's church in New York. He said the same thing, held that CD up, said the same thing. I'm not singing. I said the same thing from the back of the auditorium. Amen. You know, he had, so, you know. But there's some of you. If we tried to attempt to teach you the skill of singing, we would be, what are you holding your face up, Brother Jason's holding his face behind his Bible out there, amen. So, is it that bad, young people? Huh, amen. I have heard some stories. I do have teenagers in the youth group. Stick to the guitar, brother. Stick to the guitar, amen. Just let somebody else sing. Yeah, some people just, they're incapable because they're not blessed with that ability to learn physically how to carry it. Okay? It's not about singing a part, it's just singing the melody. All right? Now, when it comes to the world of the physical, some skills can be developed, others cannot. But wait a minute, when it comes to wisdom, when it comes to instruction, when it comes to understanding, when it comes to perception and discernment, you know what, folks? We're not talking about physical limitations here. If we're limited in these areas, it's because we haven't applied ourselves to learn. There's no physical limitation. When it comes to wisdom and perception and discernment, it's just we have not applied ourselves to learn what is available to whoever wants it. You want some discernment? It's in the book of Proverbs. You know, some instruction, some skill, some teachings to know how to put knowledge to use. And I'm talking about in relationships of life and in all the circumstances of life. And what is wise compared to what is foolish? Because living wisely is always going to give you an advantage over somebody who lives foolishly. Who doesn't need that? Now, you know, somebody might be able to say, you know what, Pastor, I just can't sing in the choir because, and we might say, amen, you can't sing in the choir. But there'll never be anybody who can say, Pastor, I just can't get wisdom. I just can't get discernment. No, this is what the book is all about. All right? It's for everybody who wants it. That's purpose number two. I'm just going to mention number three and four, and then we'll begin a few announcements and pray. Purpose number three is found in verse number three. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Wisdom. This is wisdom has more than one definition. This is a different definition than the word wisdom in verse number two. This is the ability to see things as God sees them. Okay? And boy, oh, folks, if we ever need that, it's now in this day and age. Okay? We can be taught to see things as God does. The word justice just simply means right. The root word of the word justice is the word just. Proverbs will help us know right from wrong. Folks, a person can live a much better life simply by knowing the difference between right and wrong. How much trouble would God's people avoid? Huh? Not just knowing it, but then putting it into practice. So the word judgment means to judge. This is governing properly. Now, you know what kind of government is the most needed kind of government in my life and your life? I think I heard somebody say it. Self-government. But the biggest problem I have is not Barack Obama. Not the economy. It's not somebody who's angry at me. The biggest problem I have, not my son-in-law, or the one to be. Certainly not my grandchildren. The biggest problem I have is me. And the biggest problem you have is you. This book will teach us how to judge, how to govern ourselves properly. We must learn how to govern ourselves properly, and the Proverbs will help us to do that correctly. And then he says equity. The word simply means even. Equity is the ability to live life on an even keel. We've talked about that before. Remember that? Most folks, if you have the potential to soar to this height, then you have the potential to fall to the corresponding depth. That's a wild way to live, folks. That might be fun on a roller coaster at an amusement park, but that's no fun in life. And I know folks like that, and you know folks like that. They can get up this high, and it's unbelievable. And when I meet them and they're in that kind of condition, I say to myself, God bless them, because I know where they're headed. And a few days or a few weeks, they're to the corresponding depth. That's no way to live. He's talking about avoiding that up and down, twist and turn, fast and slow. And sometimes the thing is going to pick up pace. Sometimes we're going to hit highs and lows. But equity will help a person minimize those and help us live on an even keel. At least within a band, if you will, of emotions that's tolerable. Huh? Where do you get that? Proverbs. I didn't say that. God did. So if I am a person given to this kind of... and I really wanted to get over it and conquer it, I'd saturate myself in the book of Proverbs. Saturate. I'm not sure I'd read anything else for days on end. And I'd learn whatever I could learn from this book right here. Equity, that ability to live life at an even... Folks, it's the... Anyway, I won't say that. I won't go there. It's the happiest life in the world to live. My wife and I were talking today about a boy. She said, I've never seen him so happy and at peace. I said, he's never been so right with God. Never been so right with God. There's something to this being right with God stuff. Okay? Does something in here. May not do anything for the bank account. It does something in here. Now that's available, folks. Wisdom, the ability to see things as God sees them. Justice, the ability to discern right from wrong. Judgment, learning how to govern myself properly and learning how to live life on an even keel. That is available from the book of Proverbs. That's what he says, the Proverbs of Solomon. Number one, to know wisdom and instruction. Purpose number two, to perceive the words of understanding. Purpose number three, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. There's instruction in all four of those areas, all through the book of Proverbs. Purpose number four, Proverbs gives three important things to young people. Look at verse number four, to give subtlety to the simple. That word, let me give you the word subtlety. The word subtlety means prudence. You know what prudence is? This is my own definition. Prudence is going through life with your brain in gear. Did your dad ever tell you when you were... My dad, son, put your brain in gear. Huh? Your dad's ever said that to you? Oh, okay. Nope, never heard that one. I feel pretty dumb right now, okay? Son, put your brain in gear. What it means is... put the thing in drive or reverse or something. Don't just blah. Just whichever direction the wind is blowing, whatever everybody else is doing, whatever direction the youth group is going, whatever direction the school is going, whatever direction the Sunday school class is going, I'm just going along for the ride. Put your brain in gear. You don't have to go along for the ride. Sometimes the ride's going the wrong place. Knowledge, to give, verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge. Knowledge is what it is. Discretion, the word means a plan, a purpose. Now, I want you to see that, and I'm done. These important things, subtlety, prudence, knowledge, discretion, these important things are for the simple, the young man. The word simple does not infer a mental handicap. We might say about the Sunbeam class, they are simple-minded people. Meaning they're mentally handicapped. When God uses the word simple, He's not referring to a mental handicap. The word means open. We've been this path before. The word means open or roomy. Young people, there is a lot of room and openness for influence in young people. Those in their 50s and 60s and 70s are far less influential than those between the ages of 12 and 19. And even 20 and 21. At that age, the young person still has a lot of room, openness for influence. That is both good and bad. Right? Because if they get the wrong influence, what happens? But they get the right influence. Where do I get the right influence for my young person? Book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs. There ought not be a book in the Bible more read by our young people than the book of Proverbs. Now, Brother Bragg, you know, I suppose that sometimes in homeroom, those three homeroom classes over there, 7th and 8th grade, 9th and 10th, 11th and 12th, I would think that day after day after day, those kids have to read the corresponding proverb of the day. Today, I suppose today in homeroom, they read Proverbs chapter 13. So, Brother Angel, do you think they really apply themselves every day and they have to write three lessons or two lessons out of the chapter? Two lessons every day out of the chapter they read. I don't know if that does them any good or not. Well, I will tell you what, if it doesn't, it's not God's fault. And it may not, it has the potential to do them immediate great good right now. But parents, you hear me, and if they ever complain about that, don't listen to that complaint, because the redundance of those proverbs over and 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 over from the time they're in 7th grade through 12th grade, day after day after day after day, starting the day with the book of Proverbs, God's word will not return void. And I have to believe that if it's even down in the deep recesses of the subconsciousness, those principles of wisdom are embedded in there. Those kids are open. They are roomy. They're very influential. If you don't believe that, just work with teenagers for a while. That's what he's talking about. It will give prudence and knowledge and discretion to that young person, the one who has a lot of room for influence. So you know what the wise teenager will do? When school ends a week from Friday, May 22nd, the wise teenager will probably find, well, Saturday morning, May 23rd, or sometime during the day on May 23rd, find himself or herself in Proverbs chapter 23. Even when there's no school in session. And the wise young person and will find themselves on May 28th in the book of Proverbs chapter 28, and just make it a consistent habit while you're young. Immerse yourself in this book, right? Specifically the book of Proverbs. I'm for the academic. I am for the zeal to learn academics, to do well the ACT test, to prepare. I am for that, folks. I say amen to that. Do the best you can. But I want to tell you something. If you get all of that and you miss what's available in Proverbs, you're in trouble. So you put the two together. That's the book of Proverbs in a very abbreviated time. All right? Let's stand, please. Thank you for listening. Dear Father, I pray that you'll give us a hunger. We don't want to be like the children of Israel in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, where you took away the ability to perceive. So, Lord, give us a hunger to be perceptive, to have skill, to be taught, to receive instruction, discernment. And, Lord, all of these great things that are available in this book. And I pray, God, even for those of us who are beyond, well beyond the teenage years, that you'll help us as well to pay great attention to this wonderful book in your Bible. We'll thank you for it.